This morning we're talking about living in harmony. In your notes, how do I live in harmony with others? Now Jesus is talking about other Christ followers. He's dealing with his 12. Everybody say 12. This is not to the masses. This is not to all of Temple, Texas. It's to Bethel this morning he's talking. He says, you need to live in harmony with everybody who attends this church. Some of you were looking around to see, I don't know. Oh, she's not here this morning. I ain't live in harmony. No. Now, I want to lay some ground rules. Number one, God is not calling us to be the moral police inside the church. So this message is not for you to leave the service and to start making phone calls. Hey, Cheryl, my goodness, Pastor preached about you this morning. You need to listen to that sermon. In fact, I want to be serious here a moment. Please, don't take this out of context. Jesus is talking about unrepentant, repetitive sin, and you're not dealing with it. He's not calling you, oh, you know, you've got this weakness, you've got this area. No. The church is for the people who are broken. In fact, if you don't have an issue in your life, just go ahead and leave because you don't need us, okay? Just, you're dismissed. You can leave if you don't have an issue. Okay, so everybody stayed except Austin's leaving. So Austin's the only one. Austin's the most holy among us. No, I'm just giving our time. By the way, he did play basketball the other night and had an interesting, I enjoyed playing scoring on you last night, Thursday night, repetitively, if I remember, repetitively, a 63, how old are you, Austin, 20, 22, so I could almost be your grandfather, so just, anyway, I did have fun, one game, back to the message, so, number one, God has not called us to be the moral police, number two, God has not called us to be legalistic. So please, hear the heart of Jesus as he teaches this. Because if you go out of here this morning and you start judging everybody that's in this room, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So he's not talking about every sin that is committed. He's talking about unrepentant, hard-hearted, repetitive sin. And he says, you need to live in harmony. And he teaches us how to live in harmony. Verses 15, 16, and 17. He says, and I mean, you can read it for yourself, so I'm just going to highlight. Number one, he says, talk to them privately. Now, how do you talk to them privately? You have relationships with them. That's why it's so important that you're a part of a Bible class or a small group. We call them e-groups here. While you're a part of those so that you have relationship. I've known Pastor Trey for 12 years, give or take. Pastor Trey can talk into my life and say, hey, Elwin, why did you do such and such? Because I know him, and you know what? I think he loves me, and I trust him. But if you're here this morning, and I have no idea who you are, and you come up to me, and you start reading my mail, I'm going to have a defensive mechanism that's going to kick in. Now, I'll listen to what you say, but if Pastor Trey talks to me, I'm going to listen more because he knows me. So he's talking about out of relationship, you're going. That's 15. Verse 16, if they won't listen, then you take one or two more. And I already talked about that's based out of the Deuteronomy. Then verse 17, if they haven't dealt with their sin, then you take it to the church. We've had to do this a few times with staff members down through the years who have fallen into sin that would require them to no longer be a part of the staff of the church. And it has become a public sin, and we've had to deal with it publicly. But those are rare occasions. That's not the normal. But you see, he says in verse 17, take it to the church. The Greek word for church is ekklesia, which means the called out ones. 1 Peter 2:9, Jesus says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Let me break it down. Just a couple of those descriptions. Number one, you're chosen. If you're a Christ follower this morning, aren't you glad you've been chosen? I am so glad he chose me. He chose me. But now I have a responsibility. Am I going to choose him? See, some of you this morning, you've not chosen him. But he's chosen you. That's why you're here this morning. You may not even have realized it. You may have thought you just came because it was Sunday morning. No, you came today because God chose you that this morning will be your day where you will also choose him. Can somebody say praise the Lord? So God has chosen you. Now you have to determine if you're going to accept that. The church isn't a place that you go, but it's people that you go to or walk with. And every house has its own rules. And we're going to look at some of God's rules in just a moment. In my house, growing up, we had rules. If I was going to be late, what did I have to do? Back in my generation, how many of you know, what did I have to do if I was going to be late getting home? I had to call. And I didn't have a cell phone. How many of you, like me, you had mean parents, you had a curfew? Now, some people, your parents don't have a curfew. In our house, we had a curfew. If I was going to be late, I had a call. Now, it's a whole lot easier now that you have cell phones and stuff, but back then, you had to go find a payphone or something, borrow somebody's phone or whatever. Also, there was a rule in our house, there's a house rule, that you had to make your bed in the morning. How many of you had mean parents like me that you had to make your bed? You had to make your bed before you went to school or wherever you went, you had to make your bed. Let me get just a little personal. No, I probably don't need to go that personal. So we had that rule in our home. You had to make your bed. And so I made my bed before I went to school. It wasn't, Cheryl, until, I don't know, maybe I was in high school or so, I was told, I found out mom would come back after us and make it right. I thought I'd done a good job. And I did by my standards, but they weren't up to my mother's standards. So there are house rules. And God gives us some house rules in this passage about dealing with sin in the church. Romans 12, he says, if possible, everybody say if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. He's not talking about the male gender here. He's talking about everybody. Be at peace with everybody. That's one of God's house rules. That if you're part of the church, you need to live at peace. How do you live at peace? You strive for peace. You serve one another. You love one another. You help one another. He goes on, 1 Peter 2:9, not only are you chosen, but you are peculiar. Some of you are going, now I know what your problem is. Well, that's not what he's not talking weirdo here. He's talking about you are God's set apart, God's possessions. You are God's peculiar, chosen, called out people. And he teaches us that if we're going to grow like we need to grow in the body, then we have to help each other. In the Old Testament, the writer says this, iron sharpens iron. So we're to be iron for each other to help sharpen each other. And you don't do that on a Sunday morning in a service like this. You do it in a small group setting like a Bible class or even a Wednesday night or in our small e-groups. That's where you sharpen each other. Listen to what Jesus says, verse 19. If two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Now, the word agree there, it means to be in harmony or to be harmonious. So, it appears, and many of us, and I've done it, I've used this scripture that Jesus is talking about prayer. And while the principle might be applicable, that's not the context of the passage. Put the scripture back up, if you will, Matthew 18, 19, for just a moment. In 15 through 17, Jesus is, well, go back to chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. Jesus is talking about dealing with sin. In verse 15, he's talking about dealing with sin in the church. In verse 21, Jesus starts talking about forgiving each other. So either Jesus is teaching about sin and forgiveness, and he makes a 90-degree turn to introduce a whole other subject for a couple of verses and then goes back to what he was talking about, or it's all in context. And I think it's in context. And I think what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, if you go back to that principle, verse 16, you get one or two more people. If two of you agree, in other words, if some of the Christ followers come together and they realize that sin, then you deal with it. If you're in agreement, if you're in harmony, you deal with it. Amos 3:3, can two walk together without agreeing on the direction? If Pastor Trey is going this way and I'm going that way, we're not in agreement. Some of your marriages are not in agreement because one of you is going this way and one of you is going that way. Well, Pastor, I've changed. Absolutely. You're not the person you were when you got married. You're different. That happens. But we have to adapt in the marriage. Well, they're not the person I married. You're not either. They changed. You did too. But it doesn't mean that you, once you hit 40, that you trade them in for two 20s. It means that you change and grow together. See, some of you are trying to change your mate when God is trying to change you. Any kingdom, Jesus says, that's divided by civil war is doomed. So what do we do with sin in the church? Often we respond in what I call stewing. We stew about it. We get upset. We get angry. And so we shut down. We get mad and we stew. Or if we don't stew, we spew. And we just let them have it. Now, my personality is such, and you can talk to my wife, and I'm working on it, but I'm a very easygoing person. I'll take it, I'll take it, I'll take it. But finally, I'm like, Popeye, I've had enough. And my temptation then is to come out. And Regina will tell you that in the 40 years that we've been married, that's happened very, very rarely. And she's trying to work with me. She's trying to help me. Hey, Elwin, deal with it earlier so that you don't stew or spew. And this morning, God says, I want you to live in harmony, and one of the ways of doing that is dealing with the issues when they're smaller, because if you don't deal with them when they're smaller, they're not going to go away. I was reading the other day about a movie regarding where they showed a gunfight. And if you're like I am, you've heard about the Old West and the gunfights they used to have and all that. They would have some of these, but these were the exception. And when I was studying for today, I was reading about the gunfight at the OK Corral. It's really fascinating if you want to read about it. But those were the exception. Most of the time, what would happen was that the fight would take place in the saloon, or somebody would grab a rifle and they'd just blow the other person away. They wouldn't go out in the street and draw. They would just kill the other person. But what I was reading about was a movie that had two gunslingers, and they'd gone to the street and they were going to draw and kill or try to kill the other one. And one of them says to the other one, you draw. The other one says, no, you draw. And they go back and forth. And in the movie, Seasons come, months come, they go, and there's changing. People are walking by, and you hear them going back and forth. You draw, and just back and forth. And I see that in the church. I see relational standoffs. Well, they hurt my feeling. They need to come apologize to me. Well, they did something they shouldn't have done, and there's a relational standoff. Who should go and apologize or try to correct it? I'll give you a very simple answer. The one who is most like Jesus. Because Jesus teaches us, deal with the conflict. Don't let the sin simmer in the church. Deuteronomy, one chase 1,000, two put 10,000 in flight. There is power when we work together. See, the goal of loving confrontation is restoration or restorative, not punitive. God's purpose is always restoration. He's wanting us to repent, confess, acknowledge, and make it right. But not only do we need to live in harmony with others, we need to live in harmony in your notes with heaven. Verse 18 in the Amplified. Again, we've used this verse really out of context, I believe, in talking about prayer. And in Matthew 18, verse 18, in the Amplified, it reads like this. Whatever you bind or forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, shall have already been bound in heaven. In other words, and you keep that verse up there for a moment, please. What God is saying through his son Jesus Christ is that we're not releasing and binding here and then it's bound or released in heaven. No, God is saying it's already been bound or released up here. You are bringing heaven down to the earth. You're bringing the relationship, God's desire from up here down here. You're starting with heaven and bringing it down by binding or by loosening. If I love a grand piano. I love the sound of a piano. And I know most churches don't have it anymore, or ones I'm familiar with don't have the grand piano anymore. They have the keyboard, and that's fine, everything. But I still like the sound of the grand piano. And if I had 20 grand pianos right here, and I lined them up, if I went to piano number two and try to tune it to piano number one, or I try to tune 10 to 9 or 15 to 14 or 20 to 19, if I did that, by the time I got through all 20, number 20 will not be in tune with one. You know why? Because I'm not tuning them to the right tuner. Pastor Brandon let me borrow a digital tuner. If I knew how to tune, and I tuned piano 1 using this, piano 2, 3, so forth and so on, all the way down to number 20, and I tuned piano 20 using the electronical tuner, digital tuner, then piano 20 and piano 1 will be in tune with each other. What has happened in the church is that we have tuned our hearts not to the tuner of the Holy Spirit, but to the tune of the world. And we've moved off just a little. And the next generation has moved off just a little and just a little, to where now it is so foreign and far from God's plan. Listen to Ezekiel 33. If the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm to warn the people, then that watchman is responsible. Everybody say responsible. God's heavy on responsibility. We have responsibility. When I stand before God, I will stand by myself. I will not stand with mom and dad. I will not stand with my wife or boys. I will stand before God. And he will judge me by the choices I have made. I will hold the watchman responsible. That's a sobering statement. What is God saying there? God is saying, I have responsibility for my choices, but my choices will impact other people. And I can be held liable or responsible for them. Again, we're talking about dealing with sin in the church. Why is it so important that you deal with unrepentant, repetitive, gross sins in the church? I want to give you three reasons. I'll try to be brief, but this is the crux of the message. If you don't get anything else, please get these three. Number one, the number one reason that God wants us to deal with sin in the church is because unconfessed, unrepentant, repetitive sin weakens the testimony of God. It brings God down. Old Testament, Leviticus, New Testament, be holy for I am holy. God's standard is high. In society today, we have the church world is trying to be like the secular world, and we're trying to lower our standards so we are accepted. That's not that gives a false view of who God is. You don't lower the standards to get acceptance. You keep the standards where God has aligned it in his word. And to lower those standards gives the world an incorrect view of who God really is. God demands holiness. Let me give you just one illustration here. At Bethel, anyone is welcome to come to this church. But when it comes to membership time, you have to have a personal profession of faith in Jesus Christ. If you are living in unrepentant, repetitive sin, and your heart is hardened, and you're not willing to change, you're not allowed to be a member of the church. You're welcome to attend. But membership is different. And it's the responsibility of the leadership of the church to examine every person who comes and say, okay, do you understand that shacking up prior to marriage and living together, that's not in biblical alignment? And so, I'm sorry, but that's not what the Bible teaches, and so membership is reserved for those who have made a personal profession of faith. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be perfect to be a member, because none of us would be members. We're talking about unrepentant, repetitive, gross sin. Not only does it weaken people's view of God, it weakens the testimony of the church. Hear this morning. There must be a difference between the standard in the church and the standard of the world. And what we have done in the church world, and I'm not talking about Bethel, I'm talking about the church world. We have lowered our standard to try to be accepted by the world, and we have lost our influence. We are called to be the light. And we have dabbled with the darkness trying to be accepted. And we have lost our influence. I realize I'm not a young man. I realize as I look back in my life, some of you will remember what the blue law was. Some of you younger ones, you have no idea. But it was a law in the state of Texas that alcohol could not be sold in the stores on Sunday. I'm not here advocating it. I'm not trying to be a legalist. I'm not trying to be the moral police. What I'm trying to teach us is how that we have continually, as a society, moved down because the church has moved down. Government was never created by God to save a country. The church is the compass. It is the light. It is the one that God uses that says, this is the standard. In the name of Jesus Christ, please do not lower the biblical standard just so we can be accepted by someone else. Please. It weakens the testimony. Acts chapter 5. I don't have the time to go through it. But Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, they came and they lied to Peter and the Bible says to the Holy Spirit, and they died. God judged the sin, but listen to the result. Great fear and awe gripped the whole church and all in Bell County. May that happen. Not that we are goody-goody two-shoes, not that we are holier than thou, but that we have a biblical standard and that because of it, there is a holy awe, a reverential fear that is in our society that says that church is different. They're not holy, holy rollers. They're not people who are different because they look different. They are different because their lives are different. And then, unrepentant, repetitive sin weakens the individual. Isaiah says, your iniquities have made a separation. Separation. I don't want to be separated from God. I want to hear his voice, Austin. I want to have his heart. I want to know him. Can I just tell you this morning, If you lived this past week and you were never convicted of anything you did this past week, then you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. It's just right after 12 today, and the Holy Spirit has already been talking to me about, hey, why did you do such and such? I mean, it's like the Holy Spirit is just on my back all the time, but he's really not on my back. He's in my heart, and he loves me so much. He wants what is best for me. God doesn't convict me of sin because he's a killjoy. He convicts me of sin because he loves me, and he only wants what's best. Young people, hear it this morning. God says, I've got a plan for your life, but if you won't submit to that plan, you will never become who God desired you to be. But if you'll submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, the enemy will flee from you, and the plan of God will be fulfilled in your life. There is a plan, and that plan is a holy plan, not a holier-than-thou plan. Let me close. I ran this through Jim Halverson, our business administrator, to be sure this illustration is accurate. In the Army, you're giving boots and you wear the boots, and in the description of how to wear the boots, you have to tie the laces and tuck the laces. Everybody say tie and tuck. Now, why do you tie and tuck them? Many reasons, one very practical reason. That's exactly right. So that if you are in a hurry, you don't trip over your own shoelaces. Because if you trip, you fall behind, and the team, the people, the men and women who are counting on you can no longer count on you to be there because you're falling behind. Bethel. Online this morning, some of us are dragging our shoelaces because we got too busy. And one day went by and we didn't read his word, and now it's been a month since I've looked at the Bible. I pray over my food, but that's the only time I pray all day long. I come to church if I feel like it. I witness. No, I don't. I've just added Jesus to my life instead of Jesus being the center of my life. Bethel, this is not for Elwin. I'm not asking you to change for me. I'm asking you to change so that you will spend eternity with him. God is asking Elwin to change, so I will spend eternity with him. Will you bow your heads this morning? With heads bowed this morning, you say, Pastor, I've been dragging my laces. I haven't been tying and tucking. I haven't been allowing myself to be the light that I'm supposed to be, and I've compromised in this or I've compromised in that. I'm not in fellowship with the church members, and so I don't have somebody that's holding me accountable. I don't have a good friend here that will help me. But this morning, Pastor, I want that to change. Pastor, I want a relationship with Christ where He is Lord of everything in me. He's Lord of my thoughts, Lord of my words, Lord of my actions. He's Lord of everything. Because the day is short. I don't want to play church. I don't want to just come here. I don't want to be an attender. I want to be a participator. I want to change my world. In just a few moments, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. It's a prayer of confession of our sins, a prayer of repentance, a prayer of surrender, a prayer declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. With heads bowed, if you desire that relationship, as this congregation prays after me, I want to invite you to pray. We're going to make Jesus Lord of our lives. I invite everyone in this place. God's speaking to people right now. Inside, there's a tug going on. Inside, there's a quickening. That's God speaking to you. He's not here to condemn you. He's here to love you and to bring you in. I invite everyone in this place to pray this prayer with me. Let's make things right with God. This is not about church membership. We're so glad you're here. This is about a personal relationship with Jesus. Would you pray with me today? Father God, I open myself to you. I confess my sins. I ask your forgiveness. I submit to you. I thank you for forgiving me. And I gladly confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And with heads bowed, respect to the privacy of others, you say, Pastor, I did not have a right relationship. He was not Lord. Maybe he's forgiven me, but he wasn't Lord. This morning, I'm making him Lord. Heads bowed, Christ followers interceding as people are making an eternal decision. You say, this morning, Pastor, I've made a decision. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Would you slip your hand up? Allow me to recognize it. You can put it right back down all across this room. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? 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 God's talking to people. He's talking to young. He's talking to teenagers. He's talking to adults. Who else? This morning, Pastor, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Come on, church. There's some more. I believe that. I want to make a difference in my world. I don't want to compromise. I don't want to just surf through. I want, when my life is over, you'll have made a mark for Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus, would you respond to him? Anyone else? That's me. Thank you, sir. God bless you, man. Thank you, lady. God bless you. Who else? It's all about a relationship. Anyone else before I move on? Would you stand with me this morning? Can we give the Lord a praise offering for what he's done? Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.